Grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, based on the fact that you're still sitting here in your pew and I'm up here and it's September 24th, something tells me the world did not end yesterday. I think we're all in agreement, right? Some of you on the news heard that the world might end yesterday, and obviously that has proved wrong. And in some ways, I'm rather relieved, and I imagine you are as well, because there's a lot to do. There's a lot of exciting things that we have going on for us. We're in the fall season, and school has started up. Some of you are starting high school, and others college, and getting back to another year, and there's different routines that are really fun, and life can get really busy and really exciting. I remember when I went off to the university to finish up my degree, and the excitement of finding out where your dorm is, and meeting the roommates, and starting classes, and for me, choir and various other activities. It's an exciting time. Easy for us to get really focused on such things, the things right in front of us. And as we go about our jobs, we can get into our job routines and get focused. And also in retirement, there are various projects that we want to work on and accomplish. But sometimes what can happen is we can get overly focused on those things, and we can get stressed about that project at work that you're trying to figure out, about the roommate situation at school, or about those retirement projects. We can get stressed and obsessed about the details of life and begin to lose our focus on what's important if we're not careful. But then what happens is there are events that come along in our life or in the world that remind us about how short life is, about how quickly things can change. We've heard on the news about some of the events in our world, including the hurricanes that have affected various parts of the world, tragic situations, and sometimes millions of people that are without power. And then you heard about the earthquake in Mexico, 273 people dead. We don't know how long we're going to have on this world, and sometimes we can get really focused on one particular thing, obsessed or stressed about something right here when there's a bigger picture going on, and the truth is we don't know how long we have or what our world is going to bring. It gives us pause to consider our life. There was a devotion by a Reverend Ken Klaus, the Lutheran Hour speaker, and he had a devotion that wrestled with what would happen if there was a nuclear strike that actually took place. Now, we know some of the stuff that's been going on with North Korea and the banter that's been going back and forth, but the truth is, if in fact there was a nuclear strike, we would only have about 40 minutes to really prepare for that. There's not a lot a person can do in 40 minutes. The question that Ken Klaus asked was, what would you do if you only had 10 minutes left? Would we have the world's shortest party? Or would there be something else that would take place? Would there be repentance? Would there be a coming back to the Lord? Would there be reconciliation? What would that look like if you only had 10 minutes left? There are certainly some sobering things to think about. But at these moments, where is our focus? Isaiah chapter 55, our Old Testament lesson, gives these words to the people that are going to be exiled into Babylon. Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." You see, the people of Israel had gone and focused on other things. They had gotten obsessed with other idols, with other gods. They were seeking after that which could not save them. They were worshiping the creature instead of the creator. And who knows what else they had gotten themselves into, but the Lord wasn't first in their life, maybe not even second, maybe not even third. The Lord got pushed to the side, and Isaiah calls out to the people, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." The people of Israel, and we also have a gracious God who calls out to us, who seeks after us, calling us back to him, calling us to seek out to him. Isaiah continues, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." God didn't have to call out to his people. He didn't have to seek them. And if you've studied the history of the Old Testament, you'll remember that the people of Israel would go off wandering. They'd go off wandering. And then a tragedy would happen, and they'd come back to the Lord, and they'd go wandering again. And God, in his grace and mercy, continued to seek after his people, calling them out, using the prophets to proclaim to them a message of repentance. In his grace and mercy, and he calls out to the people, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon his name." It is because of Jesus Christ, who is also prophesied in Isaiah, that the people have ultimately a hope and a future. Earlier, a couple chapters earlier, Isaiah 53, we hear about the one prophecy about Jesus Christ, the suffering servant who would be there for the people. As it says in Isaiah 53, verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12 says, "He bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors." God had a plan for the rebellious people. God had a plan for the sin in this world, for your sin and my sin, in sending Jesus Christ. When we get to the New Testament, we see John the Baptist, the great prophet, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." And Jesus himself, as it says in Mark chapter 1, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." This is your gracious God who calls out to you, a call to repentance. But what is repentance? What is that word repentance? Well, the word that we see there in the New Testament is the word metanoia, which has to do with a change of heart, a change of mind. And when you have a change of heart and a change of mind, that leads to a change of direction, doesn't it? I got to admit something to you, and I've told some of you this before, but I have gone the wrong way on a one-way street before. Has anybody ever done that? You don't have to raise your hand. But isn't that a horrible feeling when you're driving and you go, "Oh no," and you see the arrow pointing the opposite direction, it says one way, and you're trying to figure out how to turn around before you cause an accident? It's embarrassing, but I've done it. There's only one way to the Father, and that's Jesus Christ. We try to figure things out on our own. We try to take our own path sometimes. Have you ever done that? You try to take your own path, try to figure things out. You think you know what's best for you. But the paths that we choose in our own understanding lead to dead ends. Literally, sometimes. And you can think back on those times when you have done some stupid things because you thought you knew what was best for your life. But God in his mercy calls you back. Calls you back in repentance to not rely upon yourself, but rather to trust in him, the one who has taken your sins upon himself on the cross, that you would have a new direction going on the one way that is to the Father through Jesus Christ, your beloved Savior for you. We, on Sunday mornings, have what we call the confession. And the absolution, and I mentioned this a bit last week in the sermon as well, but it bears repeating. We have an opportunity before God to acknowledge that we don't come to God with anything cool to bring before him, to impress him, but rather we come in unrighteousness and sin. What is it which we confess to our Lord? Martin Luther, in his small catechism, gave some suggestions. He said, "Consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you a father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? And as we confess to our God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against the Lord in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. But yet, as we hear in the absolution, Almighty God in His mercy has given His Son to die for you and for His sake forgives you all of your sins. So we have the privilege of seeking the Lord, knowing that in Christ Jesus we are forgiven. But we also have the privilege of seeking the Lord when we are going through difficult times. Sometimes when things are going well, we may forget about the wondrous things that the Lord has done for us. It just happens. Sometimes when things are going well, we get focused on our own stuff. But there are times that we are brought to our knees knowing that we need help. Like David, the psalmist, who cries out in his psalm, Psalm 27, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." If you look at the history of David's life, you're going to see that David went through some very difficult times in his life. He was chased by enemies. He had his own son forsake him. His own son rebelled against him. And through these difficult times, though, David had his faithful Lord, the one who was more powerful than his enemies, the one who was more powerful than the situations that were going on in David's life. And he says, "My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." Are you in a time of uncertainty? Are you homesick at this time? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you sick or weak? Are you scared? Turn to the Lord, seek His face, for He is the one who is powerful and mighty to save. As Psalm 27, verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and my foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamped against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet will I be confident." That is David, by the power of the Holy Spirit, showing confidence in the one who is mighty to save, the one who is the Lord, your light and your salvation. And he provides his comforting word of promise even in the darkest of times. As I mentioned last week, I had been reading the book by Corrie ten Boom called The Hiding Place. And I recommend reading it. It's a fabulous book. But I finished the book, and in one of the sections of the book, there was a story that really stuck out to me. Corrie ten Boom, remember, she was taken into prison and a concentration camp because of her help in hiding the Jews from the Nazis. And when she went into this one particular concentration camp called Ravensbrück, she experienced conditions that nobody should ever, ever have to experience. She and a number of other women were in a barracks that was built for 400 but held 1,400 people. There were people everywhere and crawling and over one another, and it was just an utter mess. The sanitation conditions were awful. There were fleas, there were lice. It was disgusting. But in the midst of this horrendous place of humiliation, of struggle, the Word of God was there. There was a Bible that Corrie had been able to get, and she and her sister were there amidst this giant group of women who were hurting and struggling. And under this dim light bulb, the Word of God was opened and read to all these hurting people. And the most amazing thing happened. The Word of God was spoken by Corrie in the Dutch language. And Corrie spoke some German, so she spoke German. And what would happen is, as the word was spoken by Corrie, the different people that were around her who spoke different languages would translate the passages into their languages. And soon there was this wave of speaking that spread the word from the center around this dim little light bulb where the word was being spread all across this barracks. so that many people in the midst of the darkest of situations was able to hear the message of Jesus, the message of a Savior, a message that there was still hope in the midst of the darkness. When you're going through difficult times, you have the privilege and the opportunity to seek the Lord in His Word. To seek the Lord in His Word. That is for you. And we are so blessed in this country to have Bibles readily available, even Bible apps on your phone. When I was in college, I went through some very difficult times. And during those times, the Psalms became very special. I'd read the Psalms before. I had a Bible reading schedule before I went to finish my degree. But it was during those difficult times that the Psalms came alive, and they meant so much as that Word of God was there for me in those difficult times, giving me comfort, taking my focus away from myself, and pointing me back to my God and my Savior, the one who is mighty and powerful to save. And you and I have that privilege to turn to the Lord and seek Him in His Word during those difficult times. We also have the privilege to come together in community as the body of Christ. This is such a privilege. There are some of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in solitary confinement and under persecution in other countries, and they don't always have the privilege of gathering together as we do in this way, but we are so blessed and so privileged to talk to our brothers and sisters in Christ and to share with one another what God has been doing in our life. This is a blessed privilege. That's what the psalmist expressed, his desire to be in the house of the Lord. He says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." And for us, where two or three are gathered, there we are in the presence of the Lord, who is among us in His Word and with the Lord's Supper in His body and blood. We also have the privilege of seeking the Lord in prayer. In the introduction to the Lord's Prayer, we have those words, "Our Father who art in heaven." Our Father who art in heaven. And the Catechism talks about, what does this mean? Our Father who art in heaven, what does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and that we are His true children, so that with all boldness and confidence, we may ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father. It's the Lord who invites you. At whatever time of day, in whatever place you are, to seek Him in prayer, knowing that He will hear you for the sake of Jesus Christ. This is such a blessing that we have. The thing also that we have the blessing being the children of God is that we can seek the Lord not just in bad times, but also in good times when things are going well. How about in the morning when we wake up? What a great opportunity to commend the day to our Lord, to seek Him right at the beginning of that day. As we said in Sunday school this morning, we said Luther's morning prayer, which is a marvelous prayer. Sometimes I'll say that in the morning as I'm taking my shower. I'll pray that prayer. And it's a wonderful focuser. It's a wonderful reminder. This is the prayer. You've probably heard it before. "I thank you, my heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me." In all times and in all places, because of Jesus Christ, you have the privilege of seeking the Lord because He has sought you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and your minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.